For over 50 years, people have relied on Village Green Apothecary to give them individualized nutrition, pharmacy, and healthy living products. Village Green provides you with the kind of personalized help and attention that mass market pharmacies have long ago forgotten. You can depend on us for knowledge, experience, product selection, customer service, and a smile. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or call us at 301-530-0800 or go to our website at myvillagegreen.com. We're here to help you.
Welcome to the Essentials Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, Maryland. So I'm Mark Isaacson. I happen to be the owner of Village Green for over 15 years, and I'm actually in today hosting in place of Dana Lake. And next week, I believe it's going to be Kevin Passaro, who's going to be back, and I've got the great privilege of hosting. This is my second time hosting. And the exciting stuff is that I've had the great honor of working with so many practitioners and thought leaders that have been on the radio show over the last 10-plus years, and I get to bring another one of those experts to everyone today. So the show is streamed through Village Green at myvillagegreen.com and on iTunes. Village Green Apothecary is a great resource to find the answers about your health that you are searching for via either our website, myvillagegreen.com, or our store in Bethesda on Cedar Lane. We provide all kinds of expertise on supplements, vitamins, minerals, lifestyle, health. We're very, very focused these days on personalization, and we carry leading nutritional supplement brands, things like Zymogen, Metagenics, Thorne, Pure Encapsulation, many, many products that are patented, have patented ingredients, including our very own Pathway product. So we are here every single morning on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at 1500 a.m. So what I'd like to do is actually start off for the first time. So obviously not only is it my second time hosting the show, but I am going to – today we have the great fortune of having an individual by the name of David Baer who's actually going to help me host a bit. And he is the guy that I always say is kind of really under the radar screen. He's been helping us produce our show, Essentially Healthy Living, for over 2.5 years. So David is incredibly passionate about researching and educating our listeners about health issues so they can make better choices. So as an individual that's helped us produce the show, David has assessed and identified many, many key health concerns and trends. And the thing that David is really awesome at is he's just incredible at finding all these different thought leaders that we've had on the show, folks that are super passionate like he is and I am as well. So prior to the radio show, David worked as an analyst at AARP, doing a lot of work on policy and research. David has a master's degree in public administration and environmental science. So to go forward here, so our guest today is Brenda Davis. She is a registered dietitian, is a leader in her field, and an acclaimed speaker at nutrition, medical, and health conferences internationally. She's worked as a research dietitian, public health nutritionist, clinical nutrition specialist, nutrition consultant, and academic nutrition instructor. So totally awesome background, lots of experience, and it's going to be great to have her on. So Brenda also has co-authored 10 vegetarian and vegan nutrition classics with over 750,000 copies in print in 10 languages. Recently, books include Defeating Diabetes and Becoming Vegan, which is a comprehensive edition that won the 2014 Real Best of 2014 Book Award. There you go. So first off, welcome David, who is sitting to my left and is going to like participate a little bit.
Thank you very much, Mark. Yep. I appreciate it.
And welcome, Brenda. So, hey, Brenda, so why don't you just kick things off? And I think it'd be awesome for you to give us just a little bit of your background, some of the cool things you're working on and things you're passionate about and sort of your why you're in this area and why you're doing kind of the work you're doing right now.
Okay, well, thanks. First of all, thanks so much, Mark and David, for inviting me, and I'm excited to be here. I actually became a dietitian about 36 years ago, and I became pretty close to vegan about 30 years ago. And my decision to go vegan was kind of interesting because I had never actually met a real live vegan in my life. And so it was a stretch, and especially being a dietitian, because as you can imagine, particularly in those days, you know, 3 decades ago, I actually didn't know if there was another vegetarian or vegan dietitian on the planet. So it was a little bit intimidating because I kind of wondered if I might get ousted from the profession. But my reasons for you know moving in that direction and taking that path were really quite simple. It was I just started reading a lot, and I became quite acutely aware of the consequences of my food choice, not only for myself and my family, but beyond that. And it just seemed to me to be just to make good sense to consume a diet that would minimize, you know, pain, suffering, and death in others, both humans and non-humans, and to reduce my carbon footprint. And I just got really interested in those things, and I thought, you know, that I actually thought of leaving the profession because I didn't know how I could practice where all of our nutrition education resources were really designed based on the four food groups. I'm Canadian, so it was, you know, Canada's food guide and the four food groups. And I, you know, I thought, how can I practice when I'm eliminating two of those four food groups? But I decided I needed to stay because I thought there just needs to be people who understand that this is an option, that's a viable option, and when done properly can be done really well. And I wanted to stay to help support people who were on a similar path. I wanted them to get it right.
Okay.
So, yeah, and then my other key area of interest is lifestyle medicine. And so I've gotten quite involved in lifestyle medicine with individual clients, but also with research in the Marshall Islands, with the medical school and the public health school in Lithuania. They actually have a master's of lifestyle medicine and an elective in their medical school in lifestyle medicine. And I actually just got back from doing, this year a 10-day demonstration for the government on, you know, what could happen with an intensive program for 10 days. So very key areas of interest for me.
No, that's awesome. Hey, so why don't we start, like, with the basics here? And so everyone's really clear, because I know everyone, you know, in our integrated pharmacy and customers always getting confused about things like, what is a vegetarian diet? You know, what's vegan? And what's things like pesco-vegetarian? So can you sort of give us a rundown real quickly of those big distinctions?
Yeah, so the big umbrella term is often vegetarian, and vegetarian is just simply eliminating animal flesh from our diet. So you're eliminating, you know, meat, fish, poultry, all of that. But you can include dairy and eggs in a vegetarian diet. So lacto-vegetarian means vegetarian plus milk. Lacto-ovo is both milk and ovo being the eggs. And so often when we talk about vegetarian diets, we're talking about, you know, a variety within that. So a vegan diet excludes all products of animal origin. So you would also eliminate dairy and eggs. Some, some definitions also exclude honey, and any other product that would, really cause some pain, suffering, or death of animals in its production. So bees, you know, taking their honey would be included in that, but not all vegans do stick to that part of it, but certainly meat, poultry, fish, eggs, and dairy. And then a pesco vegetarian is really vegetarian plus fish. Some pesco vegetarians do include dairy and eggs, and some don't. Some are more vegan plus fish. And so we're seeing more and more of that particular choice these days.
Okay, great.
And then, of course, Mark, there are the, you know, semi-vegetarians or flexitarians, people that, you know, maybe eat meat once or twice a week, but really eat largely vegetarian or vegan. So that would be one other category in that group.
Okay, awesome. David, go ahead. Why don't you ask a question?
Yes, Brenda, could you tell our listeners what the primary health benefits are of a vegan plant-based diet based on scientific research, for example, a lower chance of heart disease based on Dean Ornish's work or Dr. Esselstyn's as an example, or related to diabetes or any other chronic disease?
Yeah, so the primary benefits of plant-based diets really are, number one, risk reduction for chronic diseases. And so as you get more whole foods plant-based, you kind of up the benefits. And so we have a number of studies that have shown both that these diets can help to prevent disease, but also that they can be very useful in the treatment of disease that already exists. So in terms of prevention, there are three fairly large groups of people that are being followed long term, and one is in the UK. It's called Epic Oxford. Another is in the States and Canada, and it's called the Adventist Health Study 2. And these people, well, the Adventist Health Study 2, they've been followed since 2002, and Epic Oxford since 1993. But we're following these people long term, and then the third group is actually in Taiwan, and it's a Buddhist group that, you know, around 6,000 people that are being followed. And what's really interesting, really interesting about these groups is that we're comparing similar health conscious individuals with different dietary patterns. So, for example, we're looking at omnivores, semi-vegetarians, pesco-vegetarians, lacto-ovo-vegetarians, and vegans who smoke the same amount, who drink the same amount, who exercise the same amount. So we're controlling for all of these confounding variables, the things that could make a difference apart from the diet. And so those are all controlled for. And then we look at the differences, you know, over time. And with the Buddhists, it's a little smaller group, and they're just comparing Buddhist vegetarians with Buddhist non-vegetarians. And so the vegetarians are actually almost vegan because they consume very, very little dairy products and very few eggs, so it's a very near vegan population. And so what we're seeing is reduction in heart disease, probably around 25% to 30% relative to similar health conscious individuals. Now, if you compare these cohorts to the general population, the entire cohort has about half the rate of mortality and disease compared with the general population. So it's, when you compare a vegan with a non-vegetarian, you're not comparing a vegan with the general population, or that these percentages would be much higher. So compared to a similar health conscious omnivore, it's about 25-30% less heart disease. We get about 50-75% less hypertension. Probably about 40-75% less diabetes. And as you go more towards completely plant-based, the number increases. So it's about, 38% in the Adventist Health Study for lacto-ovo vegetarians and 62% for vegans. In the Buddhist study, it was about 50% for men and about 75% for women, compared to similar health-conscious non-vegetarians. And then the rates of kidney disease are cut in half compared to omnivores and healthy health-conscious omnivores. And cancer, a little bit less of a difference, so about 10 to 20% less cancer, and about 30 to 40% fewer cataracts in Epic Oxford. And Epic Oxford also showed a 27% reduction in diverticular disease for lacto-ovo vegetarians and a 72% reduction for vegans in diverticular disease, of course, probably due to the difference in fiber intakes. So really quite significant differences. And then, so that's all dealing with prevention of disease. So what about treatment of disease? Well, these whole food plant-based diets are actually the only diets that I know of that have actually proven.
Brenda, yeah. Why don't we do this? Why don't we take a quick break and Let's pick up on all this other discussion about, most important things like certain vegetables to eat and not eat, some things about fruits, different protein sources on the back end. Let me just go to break real quick. This is Mark Isaacson with Essentially Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary, located also at myvillagegreen.com. And stay with us. We'll be right back.
Mega Food Premium Whole Food Supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm-fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Mega Food believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Mega Food, from farm to tablet. Our name is our promise. For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Zymogen is pleased to announce the arrival of Fit Food, a delicious, high-quality, functional food that's formulated to support weight management, healthy body composition, glycemic management, cardiovascular and immune health, and more. Each delicious serving of Fit Food contains 21 grams of pure New Zealand-sourced bioactive whey protein, 6 grams of fiber immune-supporting oat beta-glucan, and additional glutamine, glycine, taurine, and MCTs. Fit Food provides holistic support for today's active body. Learn more at Zymogen.com. Available now through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
All over the world, people are beginning to discover fish oil is one of the best secrets for unlocking great health. Thousands of studies have shown the amazing effects of these powerful omega-3s for heart health. Plus, fish oils have even been shown to balance moods and lessen anxiety. With exceptional taste, unrivaled freshness, and unsurpassed purity, Nordic Naturals is the easy way to get your omega-3s every day. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
The brain requires nutrition just like the rest of the body. And this is where Gero Formula's Neuro Optimizer comes to the rescue. Neuro Optimizer is a concentrated source of nutrients needed for memory, mood, concentration, and focus. Neuro Optimizer supplies the building blocks for neurotransmitters, the chemicals that allow cells in the brain to communicate and to file away memories. Neuro Optimizer is the nutritional answer to the brain's needs. To learn more about formulas, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Hi, I'm Gail Isaacson, owner of Village Green Apothecary, where we've been specializing in meeting your unique healthcare needs for over 50 years. Our passion is helping you to get to your root cause of health conditions. At Village Green Apothecary, our expert team of pharmacists and clinical nutritionists offer guidance on diet, nutrients, and pharmaceuticals to empower you with personalized recommendations just for you. Plus, we offer lab testing and nutritional consultations to optimize your health plan. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda or online at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back to Essentially Healthy Living on 1500 AM. This show is brought to you by our business, Integrated Pharmacy, Village Green Apothecary, 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda. I am Mark Isaacson, owner of Village Green, standing in today and hosting the show in place of Dana Lake. I believe next week it is Dr. Kevin Massaro who will be back hosting. So Village Green is this great resource to find the answers about your health that you're searching for via our website, myvillagegreen.com, or in-store in Bethesda at Cedar Lane. So we've got tons of expert advice at Village Green. We've got clinical nutritionists. We've got HBF doctors. We've got pharmacists. We look at things like drug-nutrient interaction depletion. We look at lifestyle. We're very, very focused on personalization, understanding the foods designed for you, understanding the nutrients designed for you. And we carry hundreds of supplement brands, including leading what we call practitioner brands like Zymogen, Metagenics, Thorne, Nordic Naturals, Pure Encapsulation. Many of these manufacturers have a tremendous amount of patented ingredients, very much like our own Pathway brand that has a significant amount of patented ingredients as well. One quick thing I want to note is as we move our business to personalization, we are in the midst of launching incredible technology that you can actually take a look at and you can register and you can learn more about it by going to IQUhealth.com. That is IQUhealth.com. It's incredible technology that really allows us for the first time to personalize, looking at genes, looking at lab work, and looking at what we call deep epigenetic questions and assessments. This is in partnership with Dr. Joe Pizzorno, who is founder of Bastyr, which is considered the Harvard of Clinical Nutrition, and he is the author of the Encyclopedia of Natural Medicine and many textbooks. So if anybody is a functional medicine doc, clinical nutritionist, or naturopathic doc, they certainly know Dr. Joe Pizzorno. So again, that is at IQUhealth.com. So we are here every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. So our guest today is Brenda Davis, who is a registered dietitian, is a leader in her field, and acclaimed speaker at nutrition, medical, and health conferences internationally. She has worked as a research dietitian, public health nutritionist, clinical nutrition specialist, nutrition consultant, and academic nutrition advisor. She has actually authored 10 vegetarian and vegan nutrition classics, over 750,000 copies in print in 10 languages. So I would like to welcome back Brenda. So we were talking a little bit in the break. So why don't we pick up and talk a little bit about protein sources for vegans and what you recommend and what are some of the important guidelines there?
Yeah, you bet. So one of the things that people get quite concerned about, of course, is protein. The first question that any vegetarian gets asked is, where do you get your protein? And in fact, all whole foods contain protein. But the ones that are most concentrated for people eating plant-based diets are legumes, seeds, nuts a little bit less. Vegetables tend to be fairly low in calories, so you have to eat quite a large quantity to get an appreciable amount of protein, but they still are contributors. And fruits are sort of the lowest in all of those categories. Even whole grains, certain whole grains are somewhere 15-16% of calories from protein. So what we need is probably 10-15% of calories from protein, according to the World Health Organization. So you get that, you get 20-30% from, or even 35% from legumes, and vegetables up 20-40% the non-starchy vegetables. And seeds are probably 12-20%, and nuts probably about 5-17% of calories from protein. So when you look at that, and you just think, if you eat a mix of plant foods and you eat enough calories, it's actually not that difficult to get enough protein.
That's great. So one thing I want to note to our audience here today, which I said in the first segment, is we've got David Baer here, who has been like our under the radar screen person, working for some time to help as a producer, a co-producer of our radio show. So he's always a person that's found great guests. So we have included him today, and he's here to help support the show and host a bit with me. So I think, David, why don't you ask a follow-up question as well?
Yes. I had one follow-up and then one other question, Brenda. Many times people say you have to have beans and grains to get all your amino acids, but that way of thinking seems to have changed. Can you comment on that, please?
Yeah, thanks so much for asking that question, David, because even health professionals many still believe that. And in fact, what we know is that certain plant foods can have a little bit less of one or two amino acids than our sort of ideal protein pattern. And so we used to think that in order to get all of the amino acids we needed to do this thing called food combining, or, you know, matching, you know, foods that were low in lysine, like grains, with foods that were low in methionine and cysteine, like legumes, relative to our provisional pattern. And what we learned probably about 25, 30 years ago is that's absolutely unnecessary. So we've known it for at least three decades, and yet it continues to be something people think about. And the reason that it's not an issue, there are two reasons. One is that when you eat a mix of foods, the mix of amino acids you get tends to be just about what you need. The other is, let's say all you ate was rice for a meal and you didn't get enough lysine. Well, you would actually draw on these. We have these amino acid pools in our body that store excess of whatever amino acid. So if you had black bean soup the meal before, then you would just draw on your protein pools to take the lysine you need to build, you know, for building blocks to build tissues in your body. So it's really not an issue. We don't have to worry about protein combinations.
Okay. My next question is, can you comment on what the best vegetables and fruits are? That is, for example, non-starchy vegetables, some have suggested, are better than starchy vegetables. And also, many health gurus comment that you should get, you know, your fruits and vegetables, but many health gurus say you should get more vegetables than fruit. And can you eat too much fruit? So if you could comment on that would be great.
Yeah, sure. So in my view, I kind of like to look at nutrient density and what do you get for your calorie. And if you look at nutrient density, the most nutrient-dense foods on the planet are leafy greens. So, and the more, the sort of the darker the greens, usually the more nutrient-dense. So dark green leafy vegetables are at the very top of the list. Then you would have the non-starchy vegetables. So all the other vegetables that aren't starchy have high nutrient density. So these would kind of be the second on that scale of nutrient density. And then would come the fruit, and then would come the starchy vegetables. So starchy vegetables, the things like potatoes and sweet potatoes and winter squash and some of these kinds of foods that are taro root and breadfruit and so on. So those are the starchy vegetables, and those have definitely less nutrient density. So we want to really focus at the top of the nutrient density score chart with the leafy greens and the non-starchy vegetables. And then where fruit is concerned, fruit is a wonderful source of vitamin C and potassium and, you know, a number of nutrients that are very important to health. I generally would agree that you want to probably get more vegetables than fruits, and I would go with, you know, aiming for at least 10 servings of vegetables and fruits a day, which may seem like a lot to many people, but we're talking about a half a cup is a serving, so it's not a huge portion, and a cup of leafy greens. And so I probably personally get 14 or 15 servings a day. And the way that I would divide it, let's say you just get 10, is probably 6 or 7 of vegetables and 3 or 4 of fruits, because the vegetables are just more nutrient-dense and you're getting more for your calorie.
Are you at all concerned that there's too much sugar in fruits, especially dried fruit, and so you should limit that, like raisins?
Yeah, dried fruit, definitely you're concentrating the sugars. And of course, today's fruit is a little sweeter than it would be in the wild, or maybe a lot sweeter than it would be in the wild. However, most studies suggest that, you know, fruit, the main sugar is fructose. And of course, when your liver gets overloaded with fructose, it can increase, you know, lipotoxicity, it can increase, you know, production of advanced glycation end products. There's all kinds of concerns about excess fructose. But generally, the thinking is that the body can handle the amount of fructose that comes packaged in a fruit that's high in fiber and phytochemicals and antioxidants and all sorts of nutrients. And so we can process that. We get about 6 grams of fructose in a serving of fruit. We get about 36 in a 20-ounce soda, you know, so it's about 6 times that. So when we take fructose out of food, concentrate it, and add it in massive amounts to processed foods, we very quickly overwhelm the liver's capacity to handle it. And what happens when you overwhelm the liver's capacity to handle it is it gets turned into fat, and it you know, if we can get it into the adipose tissue, we do, but sometimes we can't. So it drives something called lipotoxicity. And lipotoxicity is storing, you know, fat in areas of the body where we really, it shouldn't be fat storage depots, like your liver and your pancreas and your muscle tissue and so on.
All right. Yeah, no, lots of great information there. So, Brenda, can you now touch a little bit on what your thoughts are in terms of cooking vegetables and how we best preserve nutrients? You know, should we be doing things, what's the best option, steaming, baking, frying, boiling, other tips in that area?
Yeah, absolutely. So basically, you know, with vegetables, we have a number, probably over 20 studies, probably over 24 studies that show that, especially in terms of cancer risk reduction, raw vegetables do better than cooked. Any vegetables are protective. That is just, you know, something we need to lay out on the table. It doesn't matter. Whatever vegetables you're eating tend to be protective to health. But the most protective, because they preserve the most phytochemicals and antioxidants, is in the raw form. And so when you cook, what you want to do is cook as little as possible. So steaming would be preferable to boiling, for example, or cooking with dry heat. Because when we cook with dry heat, we can produce products of oxidation like polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons and acrylamide and advanced glycation end products and these things that can increase health risk. So, you know, so the other thing is we also, when we eat raw, there's an enzyme in certain vegetables, like cruciferous vegetables contains an enzyme called myrosinase, and allium vegetables in the, you know, garlic and onion family contain an enzyme called alanase. And these enzymes actually convert phytochemicals into their active forms. So they will actually do more for you. And so there are lots of reasons why eating at least some raw vegetables and fruits every day makes really, really good sense. And so cooking is just using moist methods of cooking. You're producing less products of oxidation. And, of course, trying to avoid cooking at high temperatures, especially with oil. So, you know, just sticking to the wet methods is preferable.
Perfect, perfect. Okay, so let's take another quick break. This is Mark Isaacson with Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. And also, come visit us at myvillagegreen.com for our archive shows as well as our iTunes. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Solgar No. 7 can help you feel the difference. Solgar No. 7 actually shows improvement in joint comfort within 7 days. Now you can start to get back on track fast and pursue the activities you love. Solgar No. 7 is a breakthrough in joint care with no glucosamine and no chondroitin. The advanced bioactives in Solgar No. 7 help to increase flexibility, mobility, and range of motion within 7 days. One capsule once a day is all you need. When stiff joints occasionally say no, Solgar No. 7 says yes. Solgar No. 7. Available at Village Green Apothecary.
New from Garden of Life, Kind Organics Whole Food Multivitamins. They are the only USDA-certified, organic, non-GMO-verified whole food multivitamins available. They're gluten-free, certified vegan, and feature a patent-pending clean tablet technology. Kind Organics is super clean, untreated, unadulterated, and real whole food. Kind Organics Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Be kind to your body and the earth. Kind Organics, now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Do you have unique needs that a mass market pharmacy can't meet? Village Green Apothecary can help. Maybe your doctor prescribed a special compounded formula, or you have concerns about allergies or dietary supplements. Our expert team includes pharmacists, nutritionists, clinical herbalists, and naturopaths who can offer you advice on nutritional products and personalized healthy living plans. We also offer specialized lab and micronutrient testing to our customers. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or go to our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Staying mentally sharp means nourishing the mind as well as the body. That's why there's new Cognisure from Metagenics. Research shows that the active natural ingredient in Cognisure supports multiple mechanisms necessary for maintaining healthy cognition and a healthy brain as it ages. Cognisure is also easy to take in delicious, chewable chocolate tablets. Have a clear and bright future by maintaining mental capacity with healthy habits and Cognisure. Remember Cognisure for healthy brain aging support. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Have you ever wondered why the cold and flu season occurs in the fall and winter months? One theory is because of a decrease in sun exposure, our bodies don't make enough vitamin D, which is essential to proper immune function. That's why medical experts recommend supplementing with vitamin D. Thorne Research's vitamin D products are made from pure vitamin D, with no preservatives or unnecessary ingredients added. Support your immune system with Thorne's vitamin D1000 and D5000. These and other immune-supporting formulas are always available at Village Green.
Welcome back to Essentially Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary, 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda. I am Mark Isaacson. I happen to be the owner of Village Green, hosting the show today, standing in for Dana Lake, who couldn't make it. Next week, I believe Dr. Kevin Becerro is back hosting. So Village Green Apothecary, our business, is this great resource to find answers about your health that you are searching for, whether it's via our website at myvillagegreen.com or coming to our physical location in Bethesda on Cedar Lane. So we've got this incredible team of expert nutritionists and pharmacists, and we are totally focused on things like drug-nutrient interaction depletion. We're focused on nutrients designed for you, foods designed for you, very much going deep into personalization. Last segment, I mentioned a new platform that we're launching that's got 40,000 clinical studies and looks deeply at data, including genomics, lab work, as well as what we call epigenetic lifestyle assessment. So you can go and check that out at IQU. That's IQYOU, IQUhealth.com. So Village Green, we continue to carry many of the top leading nutrition brands, Zymogen, Metagenics, Thorne, Nordic Naturals, and so forth. And many of these brands have patented ingredients, including our very own Pathway brand. So come stop by the store, take a look. And as a quick reminder, we are here every single Sunday morning on 1500 AM at 10 in the morning. So our guest today that we've been talking to is Brenda Davis. She is a registered dietitian, is a leader in her field, and an acclaimed speaker on nutrition and at medical and health conferences internationally. She has worked as a research dietitian, public health nutritionist, clinical nutrition specialist, nutrition consultant, and academic nutrition instruction. She's got a wealth of knowledge, and additionally, she's a co-author of 10 vegetarian and vegan nutrition classics with over 750 copies sold in 10 different languages. So a lot there and a lot of great value and information we are getting today and collaborating and talking a bit with Brenda. So why don't we start off, Brenda, and tell us a little bit about the primary challenges, mistakes, dietary mistakes that people make on a vegan diet and things that folks have to be aware of.
Yeah, I would say, Mark, that the really two ends of the spectrum are of the spectrum where we see mistakes, and one is doing sort of the perfect diet, the diet super clean, no processed foods, all of that, but not taking care to ensure sufficient of some of the nutrients of concern like B12 and vitamin D and iodine. And then at the second end of the spectrum, we see people, especially people who are into, really into animal rights or the environment, not so into health. and they sometimes will go for a more junk food vegan diet, and they'll eat, sort of everything, that you can imagine, from chips and pop and all sorts of processed, refined carbohydrates. And of course, that diet is very far from being optimal, as you can imagine.
David, you got some.
Yes, Brenda, can you identify or talk more about the common nutritional deficiencies of a vegan diet, in particular vitamin B12, vitamin D, essential fatty acids, and if time permits, zinc and iron, and what we should be taking, or vegans should be taking, and what dosages they should be on a daily basis?
Yeah, for sure. So we'll start with vitamin B12. And the thing about B12 is it's a nutrient that's a vitamin that's made by bacteria. And so because we try to clean our food supply, we get rid of any that might be attached to plants, of course, in making them available to the general public, because we're trying to get rid of pathogenic bacteria as well. And so B12, you cannot rely on plant foods for B12, period. Even though there might be a little bit in mushrooms, or there might be a little bit here and there, they just aren't reliable sources. So you've got two choices, fortified foods or supplements. And fortified foods, you would need to be consuming probably at least 2 or 3 servings a day with maybe 2 to 4 micrograms of B12 in each serving. And so we're looking at, a serving of non-dairy fortified, B12 fortified non-dairy milk or some meat analog that's fortified, or nutritional yeast, something like that. So you'd be having several servings a day. The other choice is to have B12 in supplement form. And with that, you would need about 1,000 micrograms twice a week, 2 or 3 times a week, really. And unless you're doing methylcobalamin, there's a little bit of controversy there because it's slightly less stable. So some people would say if you're doing methyl, take it every day instead of 2 or 3 times a week. And then vitamin D, it just, your exposure to sun makes all the difference in the world, of course, because we can make some vitamin D. It also matters how dark your skin is, how old you are, how overweight you are. All of those things can reduce vitamin D production in your skin. And so, vitamin D in a vegan diet, there are not a lot of fortified foods. You get fortified non-dairy milk. And other than that, there's not a lot of vitamin D, so you'd probably wise to rely on a supplement, especially if you're living in northern climates. So where I live, from about October to about March, we don't produce any vitamin D from the sun, because the sun is just too cold to allow for vitamin D production. So we need to take a supplement. And what I would recommend is probably 1,000 I use per day. And for some people, 2,000. And I think it's a really good thing to know where you're at. And if you're very low, you'd want to go a little higher. But for most people, probably 1,000 micrograms is, or 1,000 IU, sorry, is a reasonable place to.
Right. Hey, Brenda. Yeah. So the one thing that is a perfect segue into this whole concept of how we are deeply starting to look at personalization. And when you said, it makes sense to get people checked, because one of the big things that we're seeing in our integrated pharmacy and work with all these thought-leading functional medicine folks is that people can really be all over the scale. There's some people that might almost need 0 vitamin D because their innate biochemistry and genes just allow them to optimize and produce, keep vitamin D, where other people, we see people, some of our functional medicine docs that might need to take, and again, you've got to consult with a doc, and you've got to obviously do the lab work to understand this and monitor on an ongoing basis. But there could be people that are using 5,000, 10,000, maybe even times 20,000 IUs of vitamin D.
And Brenda, do you think D3 is better than D2, and what are the differences?
Well, you know, the research we have suggests that in very small doses, sort of in, you know, 1,000 IUs or 2,000, that it probably doesn't make a big difference. But in larger doses, it definitely does. And there seems to be a little bit of research suggesting that if you're actually trying to reverse a deficiency, D3 is probably more effective than D2. But the good news for vegans is that D3 is absolutely available in vegan form. It comes from lichen, and there are several companies that sell lichen-based D3. So even if you're vegan, it doesn't mean you have to use animal-based D3. You can use plant-based D3.
And should you use the vitamin D with vitamin K1 or vitamin K2, and is there an advantage to doing so?
Well, I think there can be. Vitamin K2, of course, is the more active form. If you have a really good microbiome, your conversion of K1 to K2 should be really pretty stellar. But if you don't, and a lot of people don't have a good healthy microbiome, then vitamin K2 can provide some advantage. We know it's very advantageous for bone health, for example. And so I think there are a lot of supplements that combine vitamin D with K2, and I don't think that's a bad plan, to be honest.
Yeah, no, that's great. Go ahead, Dan.
Okay, Brenda, can you talk more about the challenges of vegans getting sufficient omega-3 fatty acids and achieving a sufficient omega-3 to omega-6 ratio?
Yeah. So the whole, you know, omega-3 fatty acid thing is really about the long-chain omega-3s, because vegans can very easily get enough alpha-linolenic acid, which is the plant version of omega-3. And then in our bodies, we can actually convert alpha-linolenic acid to, you know, the longer-chain eicosapentaenoic acid, which is EPA, or docosahexaenoic acid, which is DHA. But that conversion can be compromised very easily due to a number of circumstances. So the best converters are, you know, young women who need to have more in their bloodstream in case they get pregnant. But men tend not to convert as well. And so total conversion is thought to be about 5% from ALA to EPA and DHA. So there's some concern that vegetarians would have less stellar omega-3 fatty acid status, because the main sources of EPA and DHA are fish. And what one thing that people don't realize is fish don't make EPA and DHA. It's actually made by microalgae in the mm-hmm. ocean. And so it gets into fish somewhere along the food chain. So rather than eating fish, if you prefer not to eat fish, you can actually get it directly from microalgae, which is cultured. So it doesn't, you know, you're not at risk for the same kind of contaminants that you could be exposed to with fish intake. So there are options for vegans to get a clean source of EPA and DHA. So that's all good. So what people need to know is vegetarians probably have about half the omega-3 status of non-vegetarians who eat fish, and vegans probably about a third. And so that's, you know, that's not so great. So if we're wanting to up status, there's a number of things we can do. One is to get enough ALA, and this ratio of omega-6 to omega-3, to keep it somewhere between probably 2-to-1 and 4-to-1. I mean, even 1-to-1 to 4-to-1, but that's hard to achieve. So 2-to-1 to 4-to-1 is much more achievable. And that means not overdoing the omega-6 oils especially, and making sure you're including a really decent source of alpha-linolenic acid, probably at least 2 to 4 grams a day for most people. And that means, you know, an ounce of walnuts or a tablespoon of ground flax seeds, or a tablespoon of chia seeds, or a couple tablespoons of hemp seeds would do the trick. And then, as an extra kind of push, that EPA and DHA, and it's getting more and more affordable. So even 200 to 300 milligrams a day could be sufficient. But I've known people who need to double that to get their, you know, their omega-3 index where it probably should be. So it just depends. And again, as Mark said, it makes such sense to get yourself tested and know where you're at.
Well, what would be the health consequences for vegans or anyone else for not getting enough omega-3s versus omega-6? Can you talk briefly about that?
Yeah, well, the thinking is omega-3s tend to be less inflammatory, so you get reduced inflammation. It's interesting because omega-3s, and even, you know, even one series, you know, you get these series one prostaglandins and these eicosanoids being formed from dihomogammalinolenic acid, which is an omega-6. But generally, the omega-3s, you're producing eicosanoids that are anti-inflammatory, that are, you know, that are just protective. They reduce blood pressure. They reduce platelet aggregation. They also, you get a production of resolvins and protectins that are highly anti-inflammatory with these long-chain omega-3s. So whereas with omega-6s, when omega-6s get converted into arachidonic acid, these have sort of the more inflammatory response in the body from those fatty acids. So that's why they're both essential. You know, you need omega-6 and you need omega-3, but the balance becomes more critical in a plant-based diet, because when you get too much omega-6, it can actually reduce the conversion of plant omega-3s into long-chain omega-3s, probably by about 40 to 60%. So it's really quite significant.
Oh, that's awesome. Hey, can you maybe just talk for a couple minutes or real quick, a short little bit on the whole concept of brown rice and grains and are there issues with things like arsenic and toxins in certain grains versus quinoa, buckwheat, amaranth, and so forth?
Yeah, exactly. So grains have become really controversial in the last few years, as you well know. And you know, we actually just saw a study from a couple years ago that looked, it was a meta-analysis looking at 40-some studies showing that people who eat the most whole grains actually have significantly lower risk of heart disease, certain types of cancer, diabetes, and so on. But that may just be comparing whole grains to refined grains. So that's the one caveat there. But generally, when you think about grains, there are two things. One is, you know, some people don't do well with gluten. So then, you know, we're talking about rye and wheat and all the varieties of wheat like Kamut and Spelt and so forth, and barley. And so for those people, there are lots of other grains they can choose from. So that's one thing. The other issue is that a lot of these grains in North America are...
Hey, Brenda, so let's hold for 1 second. We will come back and talk a little bit more about grains in one moment. So just to make sure everyone knows, this is Brenda Davis, who's a great expert in plant-based dieting. And also, if you're just tuning in for the first time now, this is Mark Isaacson. I am standing in for Dana Lake today, and I'm the host for the hour on our Essential Healthy Living show on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. Just stay with us. We will be right back in a moment.
Mega Food Premium Whole Food Supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm-fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Mega Food believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Mega Food, from farm to tablet, our name is our promise. For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Bridging the gap between nutraceuticals and pharmaceuticals. That's the concept behind Zymogen's new exclusive and patented line of formulations, which utilize sophisticated delivery technologies to focus on specific molecular targets. The Zymogen EP line features Immunitix 3-6, a potent ingredient that has demonstrated a measurable ability to prime and enhance immune cell function. Applications include immune system support and support for white blood cell recovery following radiation therapy and other bone marrow-affecting treatments. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
All over the world, people are beginning to discover fish oil is one of the best secrets for unlocking great health. Thousands of studies have shown the amazing effects of these powerful omega-3s for heart health. Plus, fish oils have even been shown to balance moods and lessen anxiety. With exceptional taste, unrivaled freshness, and unsurpassed purity, Nordic Naturals is the easy way to get your omega-3s every day. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet, committed to pure and great tasting omega oils.
Did you get enough lutein today to support eye health? Most Americans consume only 2 milligrams per day, yet populations with good eye health often consume 6 to 20 milligrams to protect the macula of the eye against oxidative stress and aging. Vision Optimizer from Gero Formulas supplies lutein, zeaxanthin, and 13 other vitamins, phytonutrients, and herbs that support eye health and function, reduce eye fatigue, and promote eye comfort. For more information, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
I'm Mark Isaacson, owner of Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda, the most unique pharmacy in the country. You are unique, and at Village Green, we treat you this way. At Village Green, our passion is personalization and getting the root cause of health conditions. Guidance on foods, nutrients, and pharmaceuticals to empower you with personalized recommendations just for you. For over 50 years, customers have depended on advice from our expert team of pharmacists and clinical nutritionists. Visit Village Green in Bethesda or online at myvillagegreen.com. Welcome back to today's final segment of Essential Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda. I am Mark Isaacson. I have my own Village Green Apothecary based in Bethesda, and I am hosting today in place of Dana Lake. Dana is back, I believe, in a couple of weeks. It's Dr. Ken Becerro, who is in studio for the show next week. So as a reminder, Village Green Apothecary is really a great resource to find the answers about your health questions and search and get resources from us, whether it's our website at myvillagegreen.com or in-store on Cedar Lane in Bethesda. So we've got this incredible expert team of nutritionists, pharmacists, clinical nutritionists, naturopathic docs. We are all about these days understanding foods, nutrients, lifestyle designed for you, heavily focused on personalization. And we are also doing things like looking deeply with our pharmacists at things such as drug-nutrient interactions and depletions. And some of our supplement brands are some of the most foremost thought-leading brands we call practitioner brands that include things like Zymogen, Metagenics, Thor, Nordic Naturals, Pure Encapsulations. Many of these brands have deep research behind them and have many patented agreements, very much like our own Pathway brand. So I am here today with our guest, Brenda. And Brenda Davis is a registered dietitian, is a leader in her field, and an acclaimed speaker at nutrition, medical, and health conferences internationally. She's worked as a research dietitian, public health nutritionist, clinical nutrition specialist, nutrition consultant, and academic nutrition instructor. So as we were talking, not only is she co-author of 10 vegetarian and vegan nutrition classics, so we originally thought it was 750,000 copies that have been sold, but actually, so the impact of our show, it's actually over 1 million that are in print and have been sold in 10 different languages. So it's awesome to have Brenda with us. So before the break, we were talking a little bit about wheat and different things like grains and so forth, and which ones are optimal and which ones are not, and which ones like brown rice might have arsenic. So, Brenda, why don't you just pick it up and give us some of your insights in that area?
Yeah, you bet. So I'll just boil it down because I know our time's running out. But basically what you want to do if you're eating grains is to eat organic grains to avoid any potential glyphosate residues from spraying Roundup to dry the grains. Mm-hmm. And also to focus on some of the pseudo-grains as well and the non-glutinous grains. Where rice is concerned, especially rice from the southern states, not California but the other states, further east, I would say, they are really significant sources of arsenic. So you want to vary your intake of grains and maybe stick more to rice from other areas as well. So, and products made from rice, like organic brown rice syrup, it can be a source, for example.
Yep, 100%. So what's your question, David?
Brenda, I was just curious. Would you recommend soaking or sprouting grains to help make digestion easier and to reduce the phytic acid and lectins?
Yeah, absolutely. Soaking is wonderful, and also it cuts cooking time in half if you're going to cook them. And then sprouting, you get an increase in phytochemicals by probably 5 or 10 times. When you sprout, you break down anti-nutrients, you release stored forms of nutrients, and you boost phytochemicals. So it's all good. So absolutely a good plan to do that.
Yeah, and can you talk just a little bit about this can tie in with some of the clinical research that you're doing and some of the studies you're doing, but specifically the blue zones and some of the things that you understand, the uniqueness about some of these certain populations that we can learn from.
Yeah, so there are essentially five blue zones, and it's, you know, Okinawa, Japan, Loma Linda, California, Ikaria, Greece, Sardinia, Italy, and the Nicoya Peninsula of Costa Rica. And what's interesting about blue zones is these are the places in the world where they have more centenarians than anywhere else in the world, but also people, when they reach these sort of, you know, their 90s or they reach 100 years of age, they're actually still productive, so they're still healthy. They have a greater number of healthy years than much of the rest of the population. And there are really a number of common threads you can weave through all of these blue zones. But where diet is concerned, there are two things. One, they all eat plant-based diets. None of them are entirely vegetarian, although Loma Linda is largely vegetarian. And the second is they all eat legumes as a primary source of protein.
And would you say the majority of these blue zones are... So to what degree are they eating meat, or if they're eating protein, is it more likely to be fish-based protein?
Yeah, well, it's fish-based in Okinawa for mm-hmm. sure, but they average a half an ounce of fish a day. Just to give you an idea, a half an ounce, that's 15 grams for the Canadians. But, it's a very, very tiny amount. And that's what people need to understand is, yes, in most of these blue zones, there's a little bit of animal product, whether it's dairy. In most places, like in the Nicoya Peninsula and in Ikaria and Sardinia, there's some cheese and things like that. But certainly it's still predominantly plant-based. And Dan Buettner, who devised the blue zones or discovered the blue zones, he would say, 90 to 95% plant-based, basically.
Mm, yeah, very interesting. And yeah. And as a personal question almost, because I actually had for the first time a kidney stone. Super yeah. painful experience a couple months ago. Right. So can you just so we only have a couple minutes left. Can you just talk just for a second about oxalates and spinach in like 30 seconds or so and give us your thoughts on that?
Yeah. So basically, people who have kidney stones, it can be oxalate kidney stones or not. But oxalate kidney stones are probably the most common. But there was a recent study in the Epic Oxford cohort showing that vegetarians and vegans had about a 31% lower risk of kidney stones. But we do consume more oxalates.
Yes.
So oxalates are highest in things like spinach, beet greens, Swiss chard, but they're present in a number of foods, rhubarb. And so one of the things that you might want to do is when you're choosing dark greens to choose the lower oxalate greens.
Yes.
And if you're juicing, definitely choose the lower oxalate greens because you're consuming such a huge volume of greens when you're juicing or making a green smoothie for that matter.
Okay.
And then instead of using spinach, which is a beautiful tender green, you might use kale or some other green.
So, Brenda, perfect. Give us one super important takeaway in a couple seconds that you want our audience to be aware of.
Yeah, so to me the takeaway is that, when you choose the food you eat, it has every single cell of the human body is a product of what we put in our mouths. So, and we have control over that, total control over that. And so, of course, we want to be consuming foods that are going to nourish us well and protect us against disease. But the beauty of choosing a diet that's plant-based is not only are you protecting human health, but you're actually reducing pain, suffering, and death in billions and billions of animals and helping to preserve, just to leave a softer carbon footprint on the planet. So that's, for me, the big thing, is that it's a win-win-win for
yes.
everyone. When you eat more plants and fewer animals.
So, Brenda, that's perfect. So can you let everyone know where they can find you real quick?
Yeah, so my website is brendadavisrd.com, and my contact information is there. And my most recent books are Becoming Vegan Comprehensive Edition and Becoming Vegan Express Edition. And the new books that are coming out are diabetes books, and in July, the Kick Diabetes Cookbook will be released.
All right, perfect. So listen, I'd like to thank you for participating. I also want to thank David Baer, who helped me host a little bit today. Thank you for listening and joining us today at Essentially Healthy Living on 1500 AM. You can access this show or any of the previous shows at myvillagegreen.com and on iTunes. Come visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda or again online at myvillagegreen.com. This is Mark Isaacson of Village Green wishing you great health and an awesome week ahead. Thank you.
Ah, the joy of commuting in Washington. Whether you work on the Hill or outside the Beltway, you know how stressful it is to get around. Stress can take a serious toll on your health, and Village Green Apothecary can help. We offer over 10,000 healthy living products, including top-quality nutritional supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Our nutritionists and pharmacists offer a personalized approach to help you with your health needs. Stop by Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane, or visit our website at myvillagegreen.com.